Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habegger with us.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a fantastic Monday, a good start to it. Thank you for kicking it off with us, your week, your day. We're going to have some fun with it. In just a little bit, we're going to get into our National Day of Calendar. Looking forward to diving into that. And then I want to get into a couple of other things with you guys this first hour. We're also going to give you a chance between now and 10 o'clock to get in this trivia that we are playing. Win some ham. Christmas ham.
Woohoo!
Christmas ham. We're going to give that away, play some trivia a little bit later in the day for that. Be listening for it, everybody. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to it. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we will kick things off with The Kitchen's Open, the show inside the show. It is Beth and Melissa's cooking show that we're going to get into. We'll talk just cooking, food, general, all that stuff. Yes, or not.
Yeah.
Or not. It's really whatever they want the show to
there
be about.
You
if you guys want to talk sports, go right ahead. You go right ahead. You can talk whatever
you want. That'd
be a
very interesting episode.
I don't think we could derail quite that much, James.
Whatever you guys want. It's your show. So we're looking forward to that kicking off the 9 o'clock hour. And a little bit after that, of course, then I write stories. Good stories of the day. We have some entertainment news as well. And we'll lead you into Playmakers. Be sure to join us for Playmakers today from 10 to 11. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. We want you to get in the game, get involved, call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. 424-2600. Plenty to talk about there. Looking forward to it. Randy Paul going to be joining us today, along with Ross Provost from Burn and Eights. Looking forward to catching up with both of them. And all of you, because it's a call-in show, so be sure to call in.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show. Appreciate them so very, very much. A lot to get to this week. Before we can get to it, though, we got to start things right. How are you doing, Melissa?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Did you have a good weekend?
We had a quiet weekend. We are still healing and recovering here. There's small forward progress, but we won't say anywhere near complete.
Some progress is better than none, but yes. I am sorry to hear that.
Yes, that's okay. It was a quiet weekend. I got caught up on laundry and dishes and a little bit of Christmas thoughts, I guess you'd put it that way.
I like that. you know, everybody needs a weekend like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need it sick, but I mean, a weekend to catch up is definitely not bad.
That's true.
Sending Healy vibes, of course. Hoping for progress there. Good luck. Hang in there. Mm-hmm. All of you. Beth, how was yours?
It was busy, but good. You know, we finally had our Thanksgiving as a family.
Oh.
So we decided to do a Thanksgiving redo since the boys were sick and the couple that we were going to have over weren't able to make it. We did that on Saturday. So starting to get things ready for Christmas as well. And then yesterday, you know, we had worship, which went extremely well. And then it was the start of Tech Week.
Mm-hmm.
So we had rehearsal yesterday afternoon, you know, figuring out those last bit of details with costuming and how are we going to do our quick changes from one scene to another and making sure all of our lights and sound cues are exactly where we want them and that kind of thing. So it was a busy day, but it was a good day.
Yeah, especially for a Sunday for you. I mean, they had to line that up on a Sunday on you?
They did.
That ain't right. That ain't right story, Beth. It's exciting time to be in when it comes to the play and these moments here as much as it can build up a little bit. We had some of the cast on Friday from Morning Magazine, and Susan, the director. And, of course, the play that we're referring to is Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's holiday production of A Miracle on 34th Street, which is going to be premiering December 9th.
It is Friday already.
It's coming up this Friday, everybody. Be sure to get your tickets. So, Beth, since we're already on the subject, let's go ahead and get right into it.
Okay.
When it comes to where, just talking about you and your performance or your role in this, how are you feeling about that?
Scared.
Yeah.
Simply, you know, I'm at the same point where I was when we did Chapter 2 back in May, where I'm like, this is not where I want it to be. I don't feel like I have my lines down as much as I should. I'm not as comfortable with where I need to be at what point in time. But that's what makes Friday so exciting. You know, this is the week where everything finally starts to click and come together. So I'm nervous, but hopeful. I guess is the best way to put it.
It's a really good way to put it, I think. I think that's the essence of theater right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. And I mean, I can tell you all over and over again, you got nothing to worry about. You're going to be fantastic and everything. But I understand the feeling. I do think that it's a good thing. I really genuinely do think that it's not such a bad thing to be feeling that way.
No.
I would rather you not. I'd rather, you know, when we were talking to Melissa about her show the day of opening night, and she was saying something very similar, I was feeling the same thing for her. But just like you in Chapter 2 and her in this most recent production and everything, you guys were stellar, just incredible. And going to do a great job. I'm going to be great.
Yeah.
You're going to break both legs. You're going to be so good.
Nerves help a little bit, but they understandable do. That they're not necessarily welcome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
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 But, you know, you use that nervous energy to just heighten your performance. So.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And as far as the, because, you know, Linda was saying something very similar to what you were. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the most seasoned actors I've ever been around in my life, professional or not.
That scene went much better, by the way, yesterday.
Yeah. Right on. But it's like that, you know, it makes sense, especially when you, because I think for many people, you walk into something like this and just take it in, and that's what we want. Mm-hmm. But there's so many moving parts with any production. Beth mentioned Chapter 2. We had four people in that, right?
We did,
four of us. And it was still complicated.
Yes,
and still
it was.
The blocking still got in the way. Sometimes we had to change some things during the process, let alone when you have a zoo on stage.
which 22 or 23 of us in this cast.
Literally a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
And think of it this way, everybody. It's not just the actors. It's the costumes. Mm-hmm. It's the props. Everything has a place, and everything has to be in its place.
Right.
And it's a certain person's job to make sure that they are in those places. If one thing is out of place, it mucks up the whole domino. Mm-hmm. So getting these things in order, certainly I'm sure the audience can make sense of that. But the idea that just one little thing can throw off the whole thing can really kind of like, well, how is that possible? It is.
It's amazing. You know, when an actor on stage forgets a line or switches a line and you have to figure out, okay, how are we going to go with this? It can throw you off then, not just for that scene, but for the next scene, because then all of a sudden you're focused on something else.
Yep.
And the nice thing about tech rehearsals is, like last night, I had somebody that we said, okay, in between these scenes, I needed to get rid of this shirt and put this blazer or something like that and she wasn't where I thought she would be, and I wasn't where she thought I was going to be. Mm-hmm. So we had to kind of say, nope, you need to be over here because it's that much quicker that I need to get changed. So, you know, finding those little tweaks that need to happen, this is the time to do it. So that Friday when you come, you have no clue all of the frantic things that have led to it.
It's so interesting because that 5 or 10 seconds can be such a game changer when you figure that out. Like, oh, if I just throw my shirt on and don't unbutton it, that saves me 5 seconds. Like, it's all those little things that you figure out in these moments, in this time. And it's so crazy to think of you're doing this now. You know, when you would think, oh, well, this is stuff. I mean, when I watch a theater production of anything, I'm sure that they trained years for this or whatever. No, probably not.
5 seconds before you go on.
I mean, a lot of the time, that's how it is. Oh, you know what? This works. Huh. I'm glad I figured that out on opening night.
Closing night. why didn't we think of that before? Yeah.
No, that's it. You're so right, Beth. That's how it works. It's like the second to last show, and you're like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Glad I got one more time to do this. Miracle on 34th Street premieres this Friday, December 9th. They also have shows on the 10th. They come back on the 15th, 16th, and 17th. 7 o'clock shows for all of these. On December 17th, that Saturday, you'll have two opportunities. There's a 2 o'clock matinee as well. There are many better ways to spend the holidays, taking in Miracle on 34th Street coming up this Friday with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. It's going to be a great run.
Yeah, and
it's gonna be a great run.
The cast is phenomenal. Everybody in it is doing great work, and we've got some wonderful youth. So if nothing else, come see some of the younger members of our community up there on the stage.
Yeah, well said. Yeah. And we'll talk more about this and make sure to get you guys a good crowd building up to Friday throughout the week.
Thank you.
I wanted to dive into this, and I've taken some heat from some people lately when it comes to our Monday show that, oh, James, you're getting jealous of the popularity of Beth and Melissa's show, and you're always trying to get on Mel and Beth's show, and you're, you know, just including food stuff because of that and everything. Well, first up, I got two little notes here, all right? for your guys' show and everything and your popularity and your ratings going through the roof and all this stuff. For one, I actually did a little cooking this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to brag. I made pancakes.
Yay! Nice. It wasn't even a pasta.
From scratch. From well, I had the mix, and stuff.
But it was something. Yes, it counts.
I felt like a complete fool this weekend. I've been making pancakes for a while, but I've only been making them with, like, you know, the mix they got nowadays, where you just dump in a little water and pour it out.
And you shake it up.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my idea of making pancakes. I ran into this weekend the actual making of pancakes.
Yes.
And enjoyed it very much. Had a lot of fun making. I love cooking. I love, especially, it was a lot of fun. I did not realize how difficult it is to make a circle.
Yes.
with batter. It is so much. My pancakes, each one of them looked like a cloud that you're trying to, like, you ever sit, laid back? Of course, most kids do this. You lay back, you look at the clouds, and you're with your other friends, and you're designing, you know, oh, that's a dinosaur. Oh, that's a bird. I'm looking at mine, and I'm thinking, like, I can't, like, there's no, I don't know. It looks like something that probably shouldn't have been created. Like, I felt bad for it.
It's the blob.
I ate it to put it out of its misery. Like, I felt bad for that pancake.
You should have just leaned into that.
Yeah.
And been like, you know, this is my artistic expression.
Exactly. Right.
You decide what it is.
And as
interpret
you progress,
what it means to you.
Yep. As you progress, you start to put it in those little, like, ketchup bottles, and then you can squirt and you make different designs, and it actually looks like a face.
You could have totally made a Mickey head.
I've never heard of that. Oh that's really cool. Oh, and the Mickey head. I got to try that. You know I got to try that, Melissa. Well, actually, I just thought of that just on the fly here. I wanted to bring that up with you guys. I actually had a different direction I wanted to go, and this is kind of interesting. It is a bit of a deeper one, so give me a second here, because I am getting somewhere with this. But we go to the AP News for this article, and we're going to Paris. And the humble baguette, the crunchy ambassador for French baking around the world, is being added to the UN's list of intangible cultural heritage as a cherished tradition to be preserved by humanity. UNESCO experts gathered in Morocco this week deciding the simple French flute, made only of flour, water, salt, and yeast, deserved United Nations recognition, after France's culinary minister warned of a continued decline in the number of traditional bakeries, with some 400 closing every year over the past half century.
Wow.
Now, first up, the this has actually very little to do with the baguette. I love the baguette. I'm a big fan. Melissa, are you a fan of baguettes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Beth, how about you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So we're all in favor. Nobody's looking to knock this out of this or anything. But did anybody catch what this is? The intangible cultural heritage.
Yeah.
The UN's list of intangible cultural heritage.
Yeah.
Has anybody else ever heard of this?
No.
Melissa, have you?
Not specifically, but I mean, cultural heritage is something that we do need to put effort into retaining.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those things. It's the reason why we ramble about history, is to continue our history. Why we drew drawings on caves. Not just Jews, but every religion, every creed has told stories for many years, because that's how we pass these things on, is through stories. Now, of course, we have a million other ways to be able to do it. But all this stuff.
But a big one is food.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Right. And I did not, I have to be honest, I know quite a bit about the UN and a number of these kind of things and world culture. I'd never heard of this before, so let's just kind of this. I was using the baguette as kind of a segue into what this is. Which things are included in the intangible cultural heritage? It includes traditions or living expressions inherited from our ancestors and passed on to our descendants.
Okay.
Such as oral traditions, performing arts, social practices, rituals, festive events, knowledge, food. All the above, really. And so then you can go to ICHUNESCO.org. That's, again, that website, ICH.UNESCO.org. And my goodness, is there an amazing list here. You can browse the list of intangible cultural heritage and the register of good safeguard practices. Mm-hmm. So say there is something here in Wisconsin that you feel that way about, that you think is being kind of lost in the shuffle. Say, you know, when you were a kid, everybody spoke German and spoke from this certain book. Mm-hmm. And nobody's really doing that anymore. Well, maybe you nominate it to the UN. And it gets nominated in here, and you can go down from all the way, any year, basically, and look at different things like the craft skills of the Al-Kahari, or the beekeeping in Slovenia, a way of life, crafting and playing the odd, the OUD. I mean, everything is in here. This is a collection of all of our world history.
Can I add the puts? Can I add the puts? puts is a Moravian tradition. So when you think of Christmas time, you think of the nativity scene, right? Or otherwise known as the creche. In the Moravian church, they used that kind of as a launching point, and they tried to tell the whole gospel story through that. So that was the center of it, but they put around it like the Annunciation of Mary to the angel to Mary and the angel to Joseph and the traveling to Bethlehem. So they tell the whole story through little figurines, so it's not just the crest. But that is really going by the wayside. A lot of churches, a lot of families aren't doing that anymore.
That's a good one to nominate. Mm-hmm. That's a good. I think that this is not only interesting, but it's just fascinating to be able to look through and to look up things and to see like if something like that is included in here or not, and if it isn't, to be able to include it in there. It's just an interesting site, and I guess if anybody is curious about our history or continuing our history, I would encourage you to check it out. Again, if you just type into your search bar intangible cultural heritage, that should send you right there. Otherwise, it is ICH.UNESCO.org. Fascinating. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get into some more fun. We got our National Day of Calendar coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. And, of course, keep on listening, everybody. Not only are we going to give you a chance between now and 10 o'clock to get be a qualifier for this free ham from our friends at Quality Foods, but we're also going to be hearing from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center to kick off the 8 o'clock hour, get an update on Mother Nature then. Looking forward to it. Right now, ladies, let's dive into our National Day of Calendar for this December 5th, 2022, 7:24 on the clock, as you've got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, and it is National Repeal Day.
Yeah.
Hmm. National Repeal Day.
What are we taking away?
Yeah, exactly. if you like a drink, then National Repeal Day is all about you. On the 5th of December, it's time to raise a glass to all things cocktails, beer, and spirits, and celebrate your right to have a cheeky little or large tipple now and then. Whether you enjoy a sip of sophistication with a swish cocktail or a simple G&T, or even if you're happy to sit back with a bottle of beer, this day celebrates kicking back with a drink or two, whether you're at home, friends, or at the pub.
Okay. I wonder if this is connected to Prohibition.
It is absolutely connected to Prohibition. Between January 5th, 1919 and December 5th, 1933, America was dry, wink, wink. and we don't mean it didn't mean take much rainfall. During these years, the consumption of alcohol was banned. This was supposed to end drunkenness and put a stop to crime, but if anything, it just made problems with lawbreaking even worse. I don't think that we think about that stretch of time as that long, but 1919 to 1933,
it's longer than I thought it was.
Yeah, that's the entire 20s.
Yeah, then
some.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting. And we're talking history, we're talking American history, it's a big part of our history. It is day. I'm not sure how to say this. I'm going to make a bully. Sasher Tort.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Sure, Sasher Tort. That's how I would say it.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job, James.
I'm so unconfident with these things. Forget your diet on Sasher Tort Day, such as its ability to deviate woes, create good vibes, impart feelings of luxurious decadence, and make special occasions special, that it should have an entire week, month dedicated to it. What the heck is this thing, man? That sounds really good. And it does a lot.
It looks delicious.
Yum.
It does look really good. They're making it sound like it'll, you know, cure world peace. It'll
chocolate can do a lot.
It really can.
Yeah.
It's a chocolate cake, basically. It's mm-hmm. The world-famous chocolate cake owes its origins to apprentice chef Franz Saucher, who created it for guests of Austrian Chancellor Clemens von Metternich in 1832. Saucher was, in fact, filling in for the head chef who had fallen ill when he had this stroke of genius. When it was served up, the guests loved it, and the chancellor himself was impressed. Still, it took years for the Saucher tart to become one of the most famous and beloved desserts on the planet.
Well, it's chocolate, dark chocolate specifically, that is worth pointing out. Ground almonds, and then it has in the icing apricot jam, dark chocolate, double cream, and milk chocolate.
Whoa.
So this is an incredibly decadent dessert.
Yes.
Man, it sounds really good. It sounds like one of those things, like three or four bites, and I can't handle anymore.
You're in a chocolate coma.
My teeth hurt just looking at it. Yeah. But it looks really good, though.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is International Ninja Day.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you see a ninja today, well, count yourself lucky because they're really hard to see. I mean, how are you supposed to congratulate a ninja or wish them a good day today? We can't find them. Espionage, assassination, infiltration, guerrilla warfare, and sabotage. These are some of the skills that are inherited in being a ninja. Clad in the signature black garb from head to toe, ninjas appear from the depths of the night like a hawk or stolen wings, striking their prey and disappearing again without leaving a trace. Ninjas are rumored to be the masters of the Kujikiri, an Eastern magical practice that made them capable of combining their natural ability to move like ghosts with supernatural powers. There's actually a lot of folklore that stems from ninjas and what they did, and there's a lot of interesting history behind it. And with what we were talking about earlier about continuing history or keeping history alive, it's interesting to think that something that really hasn't been in practice in centuries is still so widely popular and celebrated.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that they were almost like the Robin Hood of Japan.
Yep. Many ninjas were Ronin. That didn't have a master anymore, so they roamed the countryside basically doing good deeds. And trying to build honor back in their life because they had lost their master.
And I'm back. Did you notice I was gone?
No,
I didn't.
No.
Hello, welcome back.
See?
That's great. That's welcome back.
Learn those ninja skills.
I liked it. It was very good. It was very it was very sneaky.
The tuck and roll was a difficult one, but I got there.
I was freaky, though. I don't mean to pick on you, Beth, but it's an audio medium, and you didn't have to do the smoke bomb.
The smoke bomb
was a little unnecessary. I really don't. It's very cloudy
in
here right now.
But it's a part of the flair.
Okay. I'm just saying. I don't think the audience noticed at all what you were doing. I wish you had done that. I really wish you had actually done a smoke bomb. Beth really gets
Next
into
time.
Ninja Day. Well, I had no idea.
Why are you guys coughing over there? What's going on?
We'll be right back. It is also Bathtub Party Day.
Woo!
Okay. The rub-a-dub-dub, three men in the tub, is how that old nursery rhyme goes. Although people who hear those lyrics today might wonder why there were three men in the tub and what their intentions were, but then maybe they were just having a bathtub party. That's right. There is actually a day devoted to breaking out the bubble bath, the liquid for those favorite essential oils, and drawing a nice warm bath to enjoy. There's nothing quite as relaxing as a nice dip in the tub, even for those who are normally more of a shower type.
Mm-hmm.
As for those three men in the tub, well, it's probably best to imagine that they were just celebrating bathtub party time. So basically, it's an excuse to pamper yourself a little bit, take a bath.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Well, and if you look back in history, baths were a communal thing. Like, think about Roman baths.
Oh yeah.
You know, people went there and socialized. It was just what they did.
Very. I'm good with us. Growing past that. I'm good with us as a society growing beyond that. That one I'm all right with. It is Walt Disney Day.
Yes, it is.
I was waiting for this one for you, Beth. It is today would be Walt's birthday, I believe. So that is part of what the day is about.
Mm-hmm.
The name Disney is known all over the world and is the brand name of characters and stories that are cherished and beloved the world over. Mm-hmm. Behind all of this wonder, the voices of Mickey Mouse and the seemingly endless parade of characters that the company put out was the vision of one man, Mr. Walter Elias Disney.
Yep.
Known to his friends, which he would consider all of us, Walt Disney Day celebrates the incredible man and the joy and laughter he taught the world.
Yes. And if you go to Tomorrowland, there is a ride there called the Wed Way People Mover. At least that's what it used to be called. Now they call it the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, but the Wed there stood for Walter Elias Disney. So there are little ways throughout all of the parks that they still try to give a nod to the original creator, Walt Disney.
I think that Walt Disney, like many, if not everybody in American history, had his good and his bad.
Yeah.
It's not easy for me to talk about somebody who was pretty, out there about being anti-Semitic.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I can't just wash over that or anything. It's something that he is, history has spoken. It's written in there. Mm-hmm. It's very well documented what he did and some of the things he did. It's also incredibly well documented what he did for literally millions of children out there.
Right.
And entertaining them and what Disney World is today and what the word Disney means. And I don't even know how many people know who Walt Disney is necessarily. Like, really know who he is.
Right.
They know the term Disney. They know the picture. They know Mickey and him standing next to each other and smiling and all that. I don't know if they know all the things that he did, good and bad. And I think that he's an actually incredible case in history of being able to balance this, of the good and bad somebody does. And I think it's very noteworthy, too, that whether you like it or not, Disney has become one of the most woke, open-minded organizations in the world.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of funny and ironic considering how Walt started the whole thing.
Well, that's right. You know, it speaks to how we as generations can evolve from what our ancestors were. I am related to Rudolf Hess, who was in charge of the concentration camps.
Right.
Well, now there are four pastors in my family. So it's almost as if, throughout the generations, we realized the mistakes of our ancestors, and now we're trying to build a better world to make up for that. And I'm not sure if it's making up for, but it shows that even within generations, Disney has done a wonderful job evolving out of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what your story right there, Beth, what we're talking about with Walt here, all these things, what good happens if we don't even at least try?
Right.
Like, we got to at least try. We got to at least try to. It's not about forgetting history or outliving history. Mm-hmm. It's making a better history right now.
Going forward. Yes.
Right. So that when we're telling the story of, 2022, December 5th and everything, that it's a better day than, in 2032 than it was in 2022 and et cetera, et cetera.
And it's about learning from your mistakes in the past.
And I don't think anybody wants to be judged on their worst actions.
Right.
And if everyone of us were judged by our worst actions, guess what? None of us left. Like, if you're going to start tearing apart every single good person in history, which you have a right to, and I think we should, I think that there needs to be a balance of those things.
Right. I just ask on behalf of all cast members, former and present, do not go around singing It's a Small World.
No, do not. Not
don't
today.
Do that. No.
Melissa, you ready? And
no.
A one and a two.
We won't do that.
No, we won't.
Thank
we won't. But we do have to wrap up. We do have one more to wrap up with. It is World Soil Day. Soil, kind of important.
Yeah.
Just a little important.
Kind of need it.
One annual celebration people will be forgiven for not participating in or even knowing about is World Soil Day. Yes, soil, as in its in that sticky brown stuff that gets walked all over into prized cream carpets. Sadly, it is this ignorance that about the importance of soil and the degree to which people take advantage of all that it offers that have led to the drastic reduction in this quality all over the world. There are these are precisely the problems World Soil Day aims to battle, as few things could be more important to humans, the inhabitants of the planet Earth, who could never hope to survive without the land. Soil, without a doubt, one of the most significant parts of the ecosystem, contributing to people's food, water, and energy, playing an important part in reducing the impact of climate change. Soil is a vital part of life. I don't even want to think about where we would be without literally soil, without the world that we have here.
Right.
Exactly.
It's important.
It's necessary to grow all of our food.
Yep.
It's important for every species that lives on it.
Think about the things you're recycling, how you're recycling them. Think about what you're throwing into our trash. Think about how you're treating the earth, the things that you've pour, you know, you throw on your lawn to try to do this to your lawn or that to your lawn. What is going into our water? We could spend days on this topic.
Absolutely.
So just, you know, keeping those things in mind on a day like today, everybody, and how you can make an impact, how you can make it the soil that you're standing on better.
Yeah.
We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun right here on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, taking you through your morning show. And I think we should have a little fun right now. How do you guys, what do you guys think? We should have some fun?
Don't we try to have fun all the time?
Maybe not. No, this is, no, wait, we reserve fun for certain segments.
Okay.
No, we're always trying to have a good time around here. It's a very good point, Beth.
Well, you know I'm trying to ham it up.
We don't get to do this very often. Yes, we don't get to ham it up very often, but we're going to do that right now. Let's play some trivia, everybody.
Yay!
Woo-hoo. We're going to do this with our great friends over at Quality Foods. Encourage you to get all of your cooking needs, all your items you need for your wonderful Christmas dinners and Hanukkah dinners and all of that over at our friends at Quality Foods. Be sure to do that. We're going to be doing this every day up until, I believe, the 18th or so, where we're going to be grabbing qualifiers with some trivia questions, and you guys will have a chance to win a free, beautiful, big size ham from our friends at Quality Foods.
Yay. Yum.
Get ready to call up 424-2600, everybody. Beth is going to ask you a trivia question. You get the answer right, you'll be a qualifier today. You'll be today's qualifier.
And James gave me a tough one.
Yeah, I did. Did I? I'm so sorry. I apologize.
It's a hard one, James.
Yeah, it is.
Come
it
on.
Is. I don't mean to do that to you, Beth, but I know you can handle it. That's why.
Are you sure?
Because
I don't have enough pressure with everything else that's going on.
You know, that it just adds to it. Just
okay.
adds to it.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's
Here's
get ready
question.
To play.
424-2600. What beverage do kids usually leave for Santa? Again, what beverage do kids usually leave for Santa?
424-2600, if you want to even take a guess at that.
Yeah, I don't know how the stumpers.
I don't know how anybody's going to get this one. I genuinely am not sure how this one is going to go. So let's just go ahead and take a chance.
Right.
Let's take a chance to see if somebody actually can get this. Good morning. What's your answer?
Hi, I want to say milk.
Oh, is that your final answer? Is that your final, milk is your final, yes, of course it's milk. Of course it's milk, yes.
Of course.
Wonderful
what
job.
What else would it be?
Why don't we leave coffee out for Santa? I mean, he has to be up all night, right?
That's what I was going to suggest.
I literally been asking that since I was a little kid. I've been asking that for a very long time.
But you're right, milk.
Who do we have on the phone with us?
This is Kim.
Kim, oh, thank you so much for playing along, Kim. I don't think I've seen that phone line light up that quickly before. Kim, you knew this one right.
Of the day.
Yes.
Yes. You got to have some easy ones in there, right? You got to, maybe especially, the fun of this is to give it away, not to stump you guys.
There you go.
Thank you so much for playing along, Kim. Has anybody ever left anything other than milk for Santa? Because I, as a kid, I'm not kidding, I really wanted to leave espresso or coffee for him, and my Nana would laugh at me about it. And then I wanted my mom to leave chocolate milk for him, and one year she finally did, and it wasn't all gone. And I remember, like, my first instinct as a little kid, I drank the last of it.
Oh no!
And then I thought, oh no, oh, I'm in such trouble. And sure enough, every Christmas since, nothing but coal. I've got nothing but coal every Christmas. Kim, thank you so much for listening and playing along. We really appreciate the time. Hang on the line. I'm going to get a little information from you just so we can go ahead and get all your contact information if you win this whole thing, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling up, playing along. And that is just how easy it is, everybody. Mm-hmm. Keep on listening. Every day, Monday through Friday, we're going to be doing this, grabbing ourselves a qualifier every day, leading right up until Friday the 16th, where we, of course, will have that. And then Monday, December 19th, we'll pull one qualifier to win the ham. So 11 qualifiers, one winner. Find out if you are the one that's going to win. Keep on listening for that. And again, a big shout out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA for doing this. We have so much fun working with them. These trivia things, these contests, they're a blast. And don't get to do this very often, but a big thank you to everybody that pitched in on these questions. Everybody helped out coming up with the trivia questions. Nice job, everybody. So we're going to talk to Kim. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR, where we are local. Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And a big shout-out to Kim, being our first qualifier of the week for this quality ham that we're giving away from Quality Foods. Keep on listening all week long for more trivia, everybody. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's that week where this gets done a lot, and a lot of people are doing this. So let's see how many. Did you hang any Christmas lights over the weekend? Anybody? Anybody do any of that? Guessing not. No. Well, according to this, a lot of us did. 4,000 people were asked when they usually do it and when people should start decorating. This past weekend was a popular answer for both. 23% said that they normally put them up in the first week of December, and most people agree it's appropriate once December hits. Only 15% think it's still too early for decorations. Of those, 4% think you should wait until next week, 8% said the week before Christmas, and 3% don't think lights should go up until Christmas Day.
Wow.
Why would you put them up on Christmas Day?
Hold up.
Because it's the start of the Christmas season. The 12 days of Christmas start on Christmas Day.
I suppose.
It's the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany.
Okay.
So maybe that's their tradition.
I'm glad I'm glad you spoke before I did, Beth, because I was immediately about to dive in on this and be like, what are people doing? That's a great answer. That's a great answer, because I did not even think about that. That's a great answer, though. That I could see where that, okay, so that percentage of people, a small percentage, right, but still that many people, yeah. Only around 1% put them up in September, and 5% said October. The most popular month for it, it's November, with 44% of the vote. But a lot of those people said late November or right after Thanksgiving.
Well, the ones who put it up early are just trying to avoid the cold weather.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
They put them up. They don't light them, but they put them up.
Mm-hmm. 4% said that they leave at least some holiday decorations up year-round. I know of a number of different families in this town that do that, and that's mainly because they're older.
Right.
Just be blunt about it and everything, and I would recommend to them the same thing, you know? They're just holiday. It's different if you've got your holiday lights on in July, but if you just got them up, if you're just putting them up, leaving them up year-round, I have no problem with that.
Right.
It's not my house. Like, we get so bent out of shape about what other people do with their own houses and everything. Like, you got to look at it there. Right. Like, I mean, even if you got to drive past it every day, it's a glance. Like, get over yourself. Like, I mean, let it go. It's not that big of a deal. Especially if it means somebody's being safer not, you know, doing something that they probably shouldn't be doing. Now, I don't see what the big crime is here or what the big bent out of shape thing is about this.
Well, when our boys were little, we liked to decorate for all of the seasons. So we'd put, you know, Valentine's Day stickers but we'd also do lights that coordinated with that. So there would be red lights in our window with the Valentine stuff. There'd be like pink and blue and more colorful lights for Easter. There'd be the red, white, and blue, or just white lights for 4th of July and Memorial Day and all of that. So it could be a fun way to keep that festive spirit going all year.
We've got a lot of schools in this area, a lot of grade schools, a lot of you know, high schools and that. There's almost none of the schools around here where there isn't a house nearby that doesn't have one of these signs out in front saying, a derogatory word towards our president or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see anybody getting bent out of shape about this. I don't see enough people at least getting bent out of shape about kids walking to school and seeing swear words on flags and things like that. So you're not going to get bent out of shape about that, but you will be about somebody having the Christmas lights on too early or too late or something. I mean, that seems like a real backward society right there.
Well, the other thing we need to think about is this, because there's more and more darkness during the day at this time of year. Anything that we can do to cheer ourselves up so that we don't feel as sad or depressed or have as much anxiety, if it's just putting up lights and that makes them happy, let them be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, you know, I certainly there are extremes. I mean, if you're, you know, one of those houses that's in a one of those shows about the great light fights or whatever and stuff, you know, it might be a little different. That might be a little, you know.
Your neighbors might have something to say with that, with how bright it is at night.
But. Yeah.
Or if there's loud blaring music.
Yes.
Have you guys ever watched any of those shows?
Yes.
I watched, like, it was years and years ago, but I did watch, like, one of the first incarnations of one of those shows. It was fairly interesting, just the creativity of some of these places. Mm-hmm. I cannot get past the idea of how this, like, is it one switch you hit? Is it a million switches? What the electricity bill is like?
Oh,
like, I don't feel like I can do enough to enjoy those moments. Like, I would be horrible at one of those houses.
Oh,
I would never be able to make it.
I don't have the computer skills to program everything.
Right, yeah.
Or those ones that have where you can tune in on a certain radio station and the music goes with the light show.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's one like that in La Crosse I used to drive by.
There's
all the time.
One here in Rapids that's like that.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, First Street South going in towards Buren.
Huh. This does lead me to remind the audience that it's that time of year again. We love to hear from you guys about great locations to go ahead and check out, that people have great displays out and everything. Oh, be sure to drive past this street or that down this street or whatever. We love getting that kind of thing. I know it's something that Pam and I look forward to every year. I know many families out there like doing that kind of thing. It's something fun to do.
Yeah.
And encourage people to have fun with it. Enjoy your displays. Enjoy your things.
Absolutely.
4% said that they leave their holiday decorations up year round. That's only 4% of people doing that. I don't think that we can, it's enough to get bent out of shape about. That's that.
No.
I feel like.
No, they just don't want to go through the effort to take it down and put it up every time. I don't think it's hurting anybody.
No.
And as much as I do think that the majority of that 4% are seniors or that, I do also think that it's a lot of lazier college kids, too. I do think that it's a little bit of both. I think that you got to mix.
If they turn them on and leave them on all year long, maybe then we could have a conversation about it.
Yeah. That might be a little different.
I want to challenge the people that are doing that to make them holiday trees, not Christmas trees, and then change the ornaments based on the holiday and send pictures in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool idea.
Ah.
So you have a whole bunch of hearts on the tree for Valentine's Day, maybe egg shapes for Easter. You know, I'm getting, you know, and there are so many different garlands that you can go to Dollar Tree or to a Dollar General or, you know, a store and change the garland so that matches the holiday as well. So I'd be interested.
I hear you there. I think I'd be interested.
I think the important garland for everybody to have in this state specifically are strings of cranberries.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And those
you
are fun to make.
It. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I don't know if this tastes good. I also don't know how it'll how I'll feel about myself if I start drinking mayonnaise.
What?
Yeah. The people that make Hellman's and Best Foods mayonnaise want you to try mixing it with your eggnog this year.
Hi.
I should note, I don't eat mayonnaise, so this is one that's a little bit above my pay grade, I think. Eggs are the third ingredient in mayo, and they claim it works even better than egg yolks. They're selling a blended version called a frozen mayo nog at a place in New York this month. It hits the menu at a bar called Amy Fonatine's on December 15th. So if you happen to be there, I guess. For everyone else, they posted the recipe so you can make it yourself. Each cup has 4 teaspoons of mayonnaise along with milk, heavy cream, simple syrup, nutmeg, vanilla extract, and cinnamon, plus rum, brandy, and cognac, or whatever the above. There's also a non-alcoholic version. You can find both recipes on their Instagram. But no. No, I will not be doing that, Hellman's. I wish you well. Have a great holiday season, but I will not be. No. Anybody?
That's slightly weirder than putting mayonnaise on a peanut butter and banana sandwich. But no, I'm not going to be drinking mayonnaise.
No, no. I mean, I get what they're saying here. I get what they're trying to do here and everything. And it's not a bad marketing idea, I don't think. But as far as, like, so much of what we do with marketing is to bring in new people.
Right.
You know, not so much, okay, I've got my core audience. I've got my core people. I want to bring in fringe people. I want to bring people on the fence. I don't feel like this is doing that.
Okay. But to be fair, I'm tempted to try it.
Yeah, just to see what it tastes like. I mean, what if I double dog dared ya?
You wouldn't even have to do that.
Yeah.
Because I tried the, what was it, when we were talking about making Coke out of balsamic vinegar?
Yeah.
I tried that, and it actually wasn't bad. You have to get the ingredients at the right level.
Okay.
If you put too much vinegar in, it tastes like vinegar.
Right.
But just a little bit did actually make it taste kind of like Coke.
Huh. I didn't know that you tried it. Oh, that's cool to hear. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. Good on you for trying it too, Melissa. Yeah.
So I would be tempted to do this because I could make it with coconut cream.
Yeah.
Which would make it a eggnog that I could actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to mention, I do know a lot of people can't eat, drink eggnog. So, you know, any kind of way that we can find an alternative seems like not a bad idea.
And they do have some non-dairy eggnogs available, but unless they're made out of coconut milk, they're just not thick enough.
Right. Hmm.
Like almond milk nog, no. It tastes like it. It doesn't feel like it. Doesn't have the mouthfeel, which is kind of an important part of eggnog.
Yeah, that does seem to be a big part of eggnog, yes. appreciate that, Mel. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get to CBS News. We'll come back and we'll be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to that. We'll have Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club and plenty more coming up right here on Mornings at WFHR.